If you found your place in Luke chapter 23, did I say 24? I meant to say 23. Luke chapter 23. And I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence to the Word of God if you're able. Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter number 23. We're coming into that season when we're going to put a special emphasis on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to read just one verse of Scripture. In verse number 33, actually, for the emphasis, I'm just going to read part of one verse of Scripture. Chapter 23, verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Would you read it or say it with me? And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for the wonderful, wonderful singing that our ears have heard, the worship that's going on in our heart. Lord, for the good news, our Father, Lord, about the addition to the Blankenship family. Lord, I pray that today we'd get to see an addition to your family. Someone, Lord, that maybe understands they have a need, but yet, Lord, they don't understand exactly how that need can be met. But yet, Lord, that's the whole reason you went to Calvary and gave your life, is so that we could have life and we could have it more abundantly. And I pray, dear Father, this morning that you would clothe us in our calling. Help us for the next few minutes, our Father, to magnify the truth of Calvary. And God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to preach this morning on this subject for just a little while. The concern of Calvary. The concern of Calvary. I've really never had the thought before. That doesn't mean that someone else didn't. But the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun. But in my heart and in my mind, I begin to think about our Lord Jesus and the concerns that he had when he went to the cross of Calvary. And I believe this morning that some of these concerns ought to overlap and become our concerns as God's people. And I pray this morning that the Lord will just use the message in our hearing and help us. The first thing I want to give you today that God stirred my heart about, and honestly, I'd never thought about it before, but I believe this was a major concern of our Lord Jesus at Calvary. Jesus was concerned about his Father. You say, Pastor, what do you mean he was concerned about his Father? You understand that the Scripture teaches that the Lamb was slain, the Lamb being, as John would say, John the Baptist in John chapter 1, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You understand the Bible teaches that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So there in the beginning, there's God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost. When they said, let us make man in our own image. I've said for years, when Adam and Eve messed up in the Garden of Eden, God didn't say, oops, what do we do now? Honey, God's God. And God knew, amen, and God made preparation, amen, for man's sin even before man sinned in the Garden of Eden. Jesus was concerned about his Father. You say, Pastor, what would you use to back up that statement? Let me give you just a couple of things, and we'll go right on in the message. Number one, the Bible said here that Jesus did always. He said, I do always those things which please the Father. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, that Jesus, even as he's facing Calvary, understands, beloved, that this is going to be pleasing to his Father. You say, Pastor, how can you know that? Well, how about Isaiah chapter number 53? The Word of God said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The Bible said, beloved, when he shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The Word of God said, it pleased the Lord, the Father, to bruise him. Amen. A lot of times when we think about Calvary, we're thinking about the Roman soldiers. And then some get past that and they say, well, it was our sin. But I want you to know, beloved, it was always in the plan of the Father to give his only begotten Son for you and for me. Amen. And the Word of God is teaching us that it pleased the Father. The second thing I thought about as he was concerned with his Father was the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus fell down on his face. The Word of God said that his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. I remember reading years ago, and I can't go into the detail, but it was a medically proven fact that a person can be in such agony of soul and agony of spirit that the pores will actually open up and blood come forth from the pores. And I believe that's exactly what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. But beloved, listen, Jesus said, Father, I'm telling you, beloved, he had a special relationship with his Father. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But oh, thank God he didn't stop there. He said, nevertheless, listen, not as I will, but thy will be done. Jesus was going to go to Calvary because he knew it pleased the Father. But he was going to go to Calvary because he knew that it was the will of the Father, beloved, for him to go to that cross and give his life for mankind. Amen. I'll tell you, beloved, I thought about his Father, the concern that he would please the Father, the concern that he would do the will of the Father. But there was another concern. When Jesus died on the cross, beloved, he cried from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, for the first time in the life of Jesus, he was going to be separated from his Father. And you can say whatever you want to, beloved. I believe that's part of that cup that he dreaded more than anything. Father, you and I have been together since the foundation of the world. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And now, for a space in time, beloved, the lights are going to go out on the earth, and the Son is going to be separated from the Father. I tell you this morning, what a blessing it is to think that he was willing to be separated for time so that you and I would not have to be separated for eternity. Amen. He went to that cross, beloved, and gave his life so that I could go be with him forever and forever. Jesus was concerned about his Father. The Word of God said, for God so loved the world, it was on our screen this morning, that he gave his only begotten Son. Listen to me. Listen to me. It wasn't heaven's leftovers. It was heaven's best. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God loves me. That's how much God loves that little baby that Abby's carrying and these little children that are running around here in this church. So much, beloved, that he would give heaven's best. Amen. On the cross of Calvary. What a blessing. The second concern that I see of Calvary, the Word of God said here They came to the place which is called Calvary. There they crucified him. You know, I believe as that crowd looked on that day, I believe even as his disciples looked on, I believe in those that knew about Jesus, that he went about doing good, he went about healing those that were sick, he had raised the dead. I believe they never thought that all of this is happening because of the relationship that he has with his Father. Did you know it's a blessing this morning, beloved, that you and I can have a special relationship with the Father this morning because Jesus was willing to go to the cross. The second thing in the message today, not only was he concerned about his Father, but Jesus was concerned about his followers. When he was on the cross, beloved, the Word of God teaches us that there was Peter. He was following afar off. The Word of God teaches us in Matthew chapter number 27 and verse number 55 that many of the women were following afar off. They weren't close by. And you say whatever you want to, beloved, listen. But Jesus had tried his best to prepare his followers for this hour. And it looks like, beloved, that only Mary, the one that anointed his feet and with the ointment, the alabaster, and Jesus said, against the day of my burying has she done this. It seemed like that the rest of them was just kind of blind to what was going to happen. But thank God there was one, amen, that understood that this man called Jesus was fixing to go to Jerusalem and was fixing to die, amen, on an old rugged cross. And Jesus was not just concerned about his Father when he's dying on the cross, but he's concerned about his followers, amen. He understands there's many of them. They're so far out there you can't find them and you can't see them. But the Lord Jesus in his heart, he knows they're there. There may be some followers here in this building this morning, and you're so far out there, you say, well, nobody knows where I am. I want you to know if you've ever met the Master. Oh, beloved, listen. He knows where every one of his followers are. He knows whether you've been born again. And, beloved, it doesn't matter how far in the weeds you may have found yourself. He wants you to come home. Amen. Get back in fellowship with him. He was concerned about his followers. Let me give you something, beloved. I believe this. You don't have to believe it, but I believe it wholeheartedly. I don't believe Jesus gives you just a Sermon on the Mount just to be saying something. I believe when Jesus said something about pray for them that despitefully use you and bless them that persecute you. Amen. I don't believe he's just spitting out words. I believe we serve a Savior that practices what he preaches. Amen. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Not only was he concerned about his Father and concerned about his followers, but I want you to know this. My Lord and Savior was concerned about his foes. He was concerned about the enemy. You say, Pastor, you don't have any scripture for that. Well, how about this? Standing down there in front of him as he's hanging on the cross, there are soldiers that drove the nails. There's a soldier there that took the whip, the cat of nine tails, and tied him to that post and beat him to a pulp. Standing down there in front of him, there's that one, beloved, listen, that blindfolded him and smote him in the face with their fists and said, prophesy. Who hit you? Standing down there in front of him was that one that planted that crown of thorns and, beloved, pulled it down in his brow. And there's blood from his back, blood from his hands, blood from his head. I'm telling you, beloved, there's blood from his feet. Calvary is a bloody mess when you look at it. Amen. But I'm telling you what's the truth. There's no way you and I could get out of the mess that we're in without Calvary. Amen. And Savior, beloved, I've not always been a friend of God. Beloved, there was a time in my life when I was on the wrong side of Calvary. And beloved, I was an enemy of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, using God's name in vain and living a wicked life. But thank God there's a Savior that don't just get concerned about his followers, but he's concerned about the foe, about the enemy. Amen. You say, how do you know he's concerned? Listen. Don't listen to me. Listen to him. Right down there is the one that took his clothes. Right down there in front of him is the one where they got down and gambled for his garments. Right down there is the one, beloved, that Simon of Cyrene that carried his cross up that hill. I'm telling you, beloved, do you listen to me? Right down there is a whole lot of people that are not friendly to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're enemies. They're foes. But listen to the words of Jesus. He says, Father, 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 forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, I'm telling you this morning, I'm glad, thank God Almighty, that I serve a Savior that's in the forgiven business. Amen. He ain't waiting on you to get good. He ain't waiting on you to get better. He ain't waiting on you to straighten up. I'm telling you, if you'll just come to Him, beloved, He'll change your life this morning. He's in the forgiven business. Jesus was concerned about his father. Here he is on Calvary. He's concerned about his followers. Here he is on Calvary. He's concerned about his foes, about the enemy. I'll tell you something, beloved. Can I let you in on a little secret right here? I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. I want to mind God. You know what happens? Brother Don, some of the foes became followers. You get a hold of that, I'll catch you down there at the red lights. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, the Word of God said that centurion said, surely this was the Son of God. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, he watched that whole thing. He had never seen anything like that before. And if you ever one time by faith take you a little trip to Calvary, you'll never see things the same again. He loves you. You say, Pastor, I'm not his friend. He still loves you. For God so loved the world. You see, it doesn't say anything about the educated world or the uneducated world. It doesn't say anything about the rich world or the poor world. It doesn't say anything about the old world or the young world. It doesn't say anything, beloved, about the enemy of Christ's world or those that are followers of Christ's world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This morning, beloved, the concern of Calvary. Jesus is concerned about his Father. He's concerned about his followers. He's concerned about his foes. You see, the Bible said in John chapter 1, he came into his own. That's talking about the Jew. And his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Aren't you glad, beloved, he's concerned? Amen. Let me give you this. Turn to John chapter 19 quickly, please. John chapter number 19. There's another concern, just a couple of more, and I'll be finished. John chapter number 19. There's another concern that Jesus has here that I think is worthy of touching on this morning. John chapter 19, if you'll look with me at verse number 25. The Bible said, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Abby, I'm not picking on you this morning, honey. But can you imagine what it would have been like to raise Jesus? Can you imagine the wisdom that just poured out of him? Can you imagine his spirit and his attitude towards his mother and towards Joseph, his earthly father? Amen. We know that he wasn't born of Joseph. He was born of God. Amen. We know that. But I can't imagine what it would be like as a mother to get to hold Jesus on their knee. Amen. And to get to hear him start talking and get to hear, beloved, the things that he has to say. And just to watch him, I believe there were many times in her life, Mary's life, when she was just amazed. And it doesn't amaze me. It does not amaze me that though there were many afar off, Hannah, there was one right there with her son. Honey, there wasn't going to be no distance between that mama and her boy. She had given birth to the Son of God. You see, Pastor Jesus is concerned about his father. He's concerned about his follower. He's concerned about his foes, his enemy. Here I see that Jesus, in his dying on cross, Brother Mike, is concerned about his family. He says to John, Son, behold thy mother. He says to Mary, Mother, behold thy son. God spoke to my heart last night. I need this. Listen to me carefully. Jesus is still concerned about the family. Let me tell you something, beloved. This world's got a twisted view of what a family is. And what God spoke to my heart about, Brother Don, in my days, I've done a lot of preaching about how the young people do it wrong. But thank God there's still some young people that's doing it right. They fall in love with one another. And they get married. And they have children. And God blesses them. And they raise their children in the house of God. I just want to say, listen, if you don't get anything else from this message, God loves the family, amen. And God has ordained the family, amen. And God will bless the family. You say, Pastor, we already messed up. Well, let me tell you something right now. I'm preaching about a Savior that went to a cross and specializes in fixing messes. All you got to do, beloved, listen. You say, Pastor, you believe God could bless my family? No, I don't believe He could. I know He could. We'll just do what God says to do. God will bless us, amen. God will help us along the way. It's amazing to me, with all the things that Jesus had to be concerned about, beaten to a pulp, He didn't die like others die. You study crucifixion. When people were crucified and they died, you listen to me, they couldn't hardly speak above a whisper. But our Lord, Brother Don, in a loud voice, He said, it is finished.
Amen.
And He said, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again.
Amen.
He yielded up the ghost. Beloved, I want you to know this morning, that same God that hung on Calvary's cross is still concerned about the family. Devin, this is what Brother Jason told me. That when this thing started, before you got saved and your precious wife, that you had made a statement, something like this: I got to get my kids in church. Honey, that's a good place to start. Sometimes we look in the mirror, we don't even see that responsibility. It happened that way in my life. But when I held my baby, all I could think was, I cannot keep living like this. There needs to be a change. And it took a while. Thank God, Brother Mike, God's patient. He's long-suffering, amen. I spent 6.5 years trying. I come to the end of all the trying and trusted the Lord Jesus. And honey, He turned my life around. Thank God. He's concerned about the family. He's still concerned about the family. I remember, I didn't plan on saying this, but it's good. You remember when Paul and Silas were down there in the jail Now, they weren't locked up for stealing. They was locked up for preaching. And they weren't locked up for preaching a lie. They were locked up for preaching the truth, for preaching the resurrection, for preaching the gospel, preaching the crucifixion. But you remember, God shook the jail. The Bible said there's Paul and there's Silas. They're singing and they're praising God at midnight. They're praying. And the Word of God said this, and the prisoners heard them. You remember that? You say, Pastor, why didn't them prisoners run? I believe they was afraid to. And I also believe they thought anybody that could be beaten like them boys is beating and come in here and sing like them boys is singing and pray like them boys, them boys got something we need. And so the jailer came. He's ready to kill himself because the doors have flown open. The jailer came and he came in, the Bible said, trembling. I know it wasn't a Coleman lantern, but if you shake one of them Coleman lanterns, that globe will tingle in it. It'd ding, 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 ding. But the Bible said he was trembling. I picture the globe in that lantern just singing, amen, as he come in there. And this is what he said. Paul said, do thyself no harm. He said, we're all here. They wasn't a one that run. You say, Pastor, you're talking about the family. What in the world's that got to do with the family? Well, listen a minute and I'll tell you. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What'd Paul tell him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen, Brother Danny. But that ain't all. And thy house. You tell me God's not interested in the family? God's not interested in household salvation? I believe that night, beloved, when they got down there, that same man that had applied those stripes is now washing those stripes. I'm just imagining in my mind, I can't prove this scripturally, but I believe he said it once, he said it 100 times, Paul, I'm sorry. I didn't know no better. I thought I was doing the right thing. Hallelujah for the day in our lives when we can come to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I thought I was doing the right thing. I didn't know no better. I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. Amen. God is still concerned about the family. I give you this morning and I'm done. I'm trying to really speed up right here. Because for once in my life, I'd like for my wife to be wrong. Let me speed up right here and close. You say, what else is God interested in? Let's see if we can name them. He's concerned about the Father, Jesus, on the cross. He's concerned about his followers. He's concerned about the foe. He's concerned about the family. But I'm going to tell you right here, Brother Gibson, and I just found out the other day that you got a preacher, brother, ain't you, brother? Amen. I tell you what Brother Ron down here said. God called his daddy to preach. God called his brother to preach. He told God, said, God, I'll build anything you want me to if you just won't call me to preach. Amen. That's what Brother Ronald Byrd told me. Amen. That's Brother Johnny Gibson's brother. If he's ashamed of his brother, I'm going to whoop him after church because I know his brother. Amen. He's a good man. But listen to me this morning. What's the last thing he's concerned about? Give me your attention just a moment. Jesus is concerned about our future. Brother Jason, I appreciate what you said about the baby. We're praying that God will save him. We're praying that God will save him. There's nothing wrong with this at a young age. So not only will a soul be saved, but a life will be saved. How many wish you could get rid of them scars? Amen. Me too, Brother Chris. Me too. But I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. I believe the Lord hanging on the cross is concerned about our future. You know what he knows? He knows something the world don't know. Brother Jimmy, he knows that the only hope of you and I getting to come and be with him in heaven is Calvary. He knows that the only hope of a sinner being able to be saved by the grace of God and have their life turned around. He knows that the only hope of a mom and dad training their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and that child coming to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, the only hope is Calvary. That's the only hope. It's Calvary. You say, now, Pastor, how can you be sure that Jesus was concerned about the future? Well, I don't know his name, but according to the Bible, Jesus is hanging here. There's a thief hanging here. And there's a thief hanging over here. You say, Pastor, how can you know that Jesus was concerned about the future when he hung on Calvary's cross? I know. I know emphatically that he was. You see, those two thieves throughout the crucifixion, they agreed with each other. They were saying the same thing. If you're the Christ, come down and get us down. If you are who you say you are, then help us. Help us out here. Get us down off the cross. But in the process of the crucifixion, one of those thieves changed his mind about who Jesus was. You say, how do you know he changed his mind? Because no longer is he saying, if thou art the Christ. He looked over, and by the way, I believe it's no accident that this in the chronological order happens right after Jesus looks at that mob and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I pictured in my mind like this. I pictured the thief looking at Jesus and looking at them and looking at Jesus and looking at them and looking at Jesus and looking at them. And I picture something begins to go on in his heart and in his mind, and he's beginning to think something like this. If he can forgive them, maybe he can forgive me. And that if went away. And he looked over and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. A man that had lived a wicked life. A man that had been nothing but a thief. A man that had nothing to offer. He just looked over and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, if you would ask some Baptist pastors today, what would you have said? They would have probably said something like this, you sorry, no good, low-down thief. You lived your whole life in sin, and now you want to be saved? Not Jesus. He said he draws nigh to him that's of a broken and a contrite spirit. Jesus looked back at him and said, I want you to just imagine being that thief when he heard these words. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today. Brother Jason, our Lord was concerned about that thief's future. I believe it made the Lord glad that through it all, my followers, many of them's out yonder, they're walking afar off. They don't understand. But I believe it made him glad when there was one that was real close. I never thought about this before, Brother Don. Wonder how old John felt when he witnessed that conversation between that thief. I believe John was happy, don't you? You see, anybody that's ever laid their head over in the bosom of the Lord Jesus, heard his heartbeat, they know how much he loves sinners. And honey, if you've ever walked with him, then you know he loves sinners. He loves sinners. He loves sinners. And he wants to save them. And I believe if you've ever walked with the Lord, you enjoy that when the Lord. The next best thing, I've told people this, and I'm not going to get into a theological argument with you, but there are times in my life when I almost wish you could be saved again. It was so good the first time. Sign me up. Amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, you'll only get saved one time. For eternity's all you need. But thank God Almighty, the next best thing to being saved is seeing somebody else come to a place in their life where they say, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Thank God this morning, the concern of Calvary. The concern of Calvary then is still the concern of Calvary now. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Get a song of invitation, please.